Continuing prayer, the Vaishnava Parad thing. How could we not notice this? Well, actually, when you think about it, it's simple. Because devotees learn to be humble, and they are so. The more you are actually a devotee of Krishna, the humbler you are. And you learn in classes that you should be humble, you should undergo tapasya, you should tolerate hardships and just do your humble service to Krishna. So when you ask such devotees, how are you? They will say, well, sometimes they will complain if they dare. But more often they will say, fine, I'm serving Krishna, I'm doing my service, getting my prasadam. Which means that the leaders, those up there, even maybe when challenged that you are not treating the devotees well, they can say, of course I am. Just ask them. And you bring them in front of that powerful board and ask them, and most will say, yes, we are fine. Serving Krishna is great. This movement is wonderful. And some will say, our leader is just fantastic. But some will say other things. Maybe they will be angry, maybe they will be sad, maybe they will complain. Well, sometimes they are heard. But more often, in the past at least, they were dismissed. Another criticizer, envious. You know the story. And it has to be told frankly. Because that's another thing, another way, another thing that can perpetuate and cement the wrong things into a group culture. It's the group psychology. Freud wrote about it. It's well known. It's what makes cults. It causes fanaticism and so on, which has plagued religions since time immemorial. Actually, I would say even what create religions out of dynamic spiritual movements, namely that groupthink. Yes, the way we are doing it is just great, it's just fine. It's the way our leader has told us to do it. Look what the leader says here, says there. And look what wonderful things our leader does. Well, actually, we are doing it, but as his servants. And sometimes the leaders, they, of course, that's the benefit you get when being in a leading position. You can start up projects and have visions and realize them. And the servants down there on the floor will carry out that work to fulfill those visions. So what can happen when you are there with servants around you? You may not call them your servants, but in fact, they act that way. And if they don't, if they think that you're wrong, that your project is unrealistic or whatever, then they will go away because they have no... And I would say this is one thing that makes cults. There will be no allowance for raising voices, questioning, or even giving constructive critique. That has been shut off. And why does it easily happen in religions? Because religions are structured that way. A divine succession that leads, through which not only the knowledge is passed down, but which it's also like a royal succession of rulers, kings. Who are then authorized to rule. And the power of that position and that succession. Not necessarily of their qualifications, because that next thing that can happen is corruption kicks in. Svågerpolitik, what is that in English? Friends holding each other's shoulders, protecting each other when someone does it wrong. And, well, that one is very clearly seen in the history of ISKCON. And the Gurukul is of the past can tell you that story of leaders, friends holding each other's backs, looking the other way even when violence and gross sexual abuse takes place. So yeah, tough hard words here maybe, but Well, tough, hard words were often used by leaders down on these simple, common devotees. Smashing, being heavy. And then you may have heard this. Prabhupada said, you go to a doctor, it sometimes has to use a knife. You can, you know, pat you on the head and give you a sugar pill, but no. Sometimes you have to cut, and that's what I'm doing now. I'm simply showing my mercy on you by treating you in this seemingly harsh and vicious way. It's my mercy, and you should appreciate it. I've heard this being spoken, but then someone wants to say, let's forget about that, now that's of the past. Well, if it is, then so much better. But then, I'm just doing that, the same thing now. Speaking uncomfortable truths, because and I'm not the only one. And others are out there also speaking like me. Because yes, sometimes we need to use a little heavy surgical treatments. Isn't it? You just told us. Now it comes the other way, and you can say it's Krishna. Krishna is protecting his devotees. Vishnudev is protecting his devotees. And if those simple devotees down there on the floor, on the ground, the humble ones, you know, are not able or allowed to speak out, then someone has to do it, or we do it together. And if no one does it, then Krishna will still protect his humble devotees. From those abusive leaders, teaching them a lesson. Maybe they stand there alone with their great projects, expensive properties, and all of that. Not enough people helping out. No one wants to help you anymore. And then it starts to dwindle and crumble. And the other devotees will live their lives and they will learn. The temple is in the heart. And the sadhu sangha is in our friendship. Ordinary friendship, the way we used to be friends with our friends. That's all there is to it. We can quote these verses. What is it that Adi Pratyaganati? Give and receive gifts, give and receive prasadam, open your heart toward each other. And sometimes that has been made into a program. I once even saw it being not towards other devotees, but towards the deities of officially, publicly, in front of the altar. But what's really described in this verse is how friends are. And revealing your heart is something you do when you have trust for a friend, not when someone tells you to do it as part of the program of being a Vaishnava. I mean, that, things like that, sometimes we need to look at and see, again, humility is important. Are we doing it the right way or some other way? And we should not deny the possibility that we are doing things wrong. Or that the leaders are. Because they are great, holy people. We should be realistic that we are all basically beginners from all over the world, coming in contact with a very advanced, elevated tradition here, Bhakti Yoga tradition. The Gaudiya tradition coming from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have been it takes a lifetime to really learn and understand all this. It's not just something you sit and learn in school for some years and then you know it. It's a path you walk and learn from. That takes time. So we should rather expect that which we have seen being the reality, that we are imperfect, and I would say, I mean, even our generation, we were neither learned and qualified and experienced in running organizations, nor were we in being Vaishnavas. And this is one example of it. I mean, we see them with just open eyes, and we can open our eyes and we can admit it to ourselves and others. It feels much better because it's reality. Because that's the thing, when this bubble, they call it echo bubble today because it appears very powerfully and quickly on social media and all of that. In other words, when the more there are groups of people, they will appear. Certain ideas bouncing around within that group. And when they are being challenged from someone outside the group, then a wall is raised around to protect the ones inside the group where these ideas will bounce around freely within that bubble. But that bubble will break if the ideas that ruled in there and that make up the universe that those people live in do not correspond to reality. Sometimes they can uphold them, but what happens is you get older, and where are the youngsters to take over here? And I would say that this is the very practical example of, or test of, you could say, whether you are in a living, dynamic tradition or a groupthink religion. The groupthink religion will dwindle. You can enforce it through building it into the society so that people take birth into it and are forced into it, either by parents indoctrinating their children, schools, or even laws. Like here in Sweden, it used to be forbidden not to be a Christian. So you can try it that way, but the real living spiritual path is something else. So I think that what we're really trying here, and many with me, I know, is to preserve that. That living movement. And how to do that? Well, I spoke to a Christian priest who had the same idea, same thoughts. He said, in Jesus' time, or quite some time after that, there was a Christian brother sisterhood. That's what it was, and I'm saying at Prabhupada's time, that's what those say who were his early followers, students. It was like that. Brotherhood, sisterhood, family. Devotees working together to serve Lord Chaitanya's mission. And that's what ISKCON was made to be. It's written there in those 7 points. It's made to bring the members closer to each other. In other words, we are not even suggesting something esoteric or experimental or strange. We are talking about the way people in general now. For instance, in Swedish, non-profit organizations, interest groups like that, they have even developed organizational forms that promote and even enforce that kind of cooperation. Kind of, again, a flat structure. But it's not about structure, it's about devotees simply being friends, at least not judging and criticizing and abusing, exploiting each other. doing projects together if they want and who wants to. Not forcing. Sort of a leader's project. But built from, I would say, something else that not only Prabhupada said, but which is there in the Shastra. The qualities of personal qualities. Tikshua, Karunika, and so on. I mean, it's all there. So rather than jumping over those verses, if something impractical, yeah, sounds good, but we have our dirty reality to deal with here. Then we should, if you want to use proper sense, we should really look at not only our favorite Prabhupada sets, but we should look at his books and the teachings of the Shastra. And all I'm saying here is what you find there in the Siddhanta, the Vaishnava Siddhanta, and in the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. Not just in a quote here and there, but all the way through, because that's the way you need to study this. It's very easy to abuse Prabhupada's sense by just picking one here and there and interpreting the way you want. You need to also look at where he said it, to who he said it, and if he said it jokingly or if he said it challengingly or whatever. Could be a very specific situation, and then you can't take that and turn it into a general absolute truth applicable everywhere and to everyone. Anyway, these are some words from me. Thank you, Hare Krishna.